everybody. This is William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino, and I want to welcome you to episode 16 of Fired Up California, where we're tearing into the issues torching our state, literally and metaphorically. Today, we're exposing why we can't trust the folks handling our disaster relief funds, or most nonprofits for that fact. $100 million for L.A. fire victims, but where is it really going? Then we're back on the 2025 L.A. riots, sparked by sanctuary policies to protect illegal aliens who Democrats see as their next loyal voter base. This week regarding the riots, we're zeroing in on looters crushing small businesses for over a billion Benjamins. From mismanagement to mayhem, we're calling it out. And we'll wrap up with our Cali Blitz lightning round to keep you fired up California style. But first, make sure you visit and bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, where you can find this podcast and all my other related podcasts, which includes Fired Up, our national show, as well as Points on the Board and The Red, White, and Rude, where I talk culture and sports and how it relates politically. You can also check out our libertarian podcast and our Pure Play All Sports podcast there as well. Once again, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, and odds are you're probably watching us on YouTube. We are on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. So make sure you follow us there as well. And don't forget to smash those likes and shares. That's how this all-volunteer team is surviving. So now, let's dive into this scorching episode. I remember in the 70s. What was 70s like? Burn! California, we have been on fire for easily a decade in disaster. So, watching the watchers, why transparency matters in disaster relief. Well, let's dive into this segment, and we're going to talk about a story that really underscores why we need to keep a close watch on those who do handle the disaster relief funds. First of all, let's give a little bit of a hat tip to James Lee via X. He posted on X, and it's what kind of opened my eyes to this story. And I've known about these type of shenanigans for decades, having come from the nonprofit sector after my military service. But he gave us, James Lee had a post on X and showing a prime example of why transparency is really non-negotiable. So let's break it down. So his post on X was about the Fire Aid benefit concerts, and that concert raised approximately $100 million for LA fire victims following, obviously, the devastating wildfires in January. Got to make my notes a little bit bigger here. So obviously, again, those were in January 2025, and there's been accusations of mismanagement. Lee's investigation revealed that a foundation called the Annenberg Foundation is responsible for distributing the funds, but they have a history where only 33% of its total expenses are allocated to charity programs. And in fact, if I'm correct, the chair receives $1 million a year. This is a nonprofit, $1 million a year. This is what I call the savior complex. They want to save us, but they want to get paid. And that nonprofit, the church and government, has never been about getting paid first, but more about giving back, and you know what you're getting into. Now they want to have their cake and eat it too. And the question is if that's what the Annenberg Foundation is doing. And that individual's name is Cynthia Kennard. She's a key figure at the foundation. Again, earns $1 million annually in salary and bonuses. And it's important to state the bonuses. I got in a tiff with my good friend David Ross when I first met him. And we were talking about the individual who manages, the general manager for the water station here. You know, the government, every city, municipality, there's somebody that handles the water utilities. This guy here handling 10,000, this was 10 years ago now, maybe 15. No. Yeah, about 10 years ago. And he was telling me he only earns, I don't know, 60-some-odd thousand. I said, no, this guy earns about 300,000 when you add in his guaranteed bonuses. And it was a racket. He's servicing 10,000 people on the taxpayer dime earning 300 G's. Oh, but he doesn't get health insurance. Give me 300,000 G's and I have no qualms paying my own health insurance. Then there's other individuals out there or water utilities that pay the board members their insurance, health insurance. I knew this one lady, that's why she ran, to get on the health insurance. She got elected. She did everything to stay on there because it was paying for her health insurance. I was talking to her, and I brought that up, not realizing that at the time she kind of hemmed hawed. These are rackets. You know, nonprofits are in the same boat as well. So Lee highlighted that attempts to get clear accounting from the Annenberg Foundation were met with evasion. Local journalists and residents, and they have all been unable to track where the majority of the $100 million went. And obviously that raises suspicion of mismanagement and corruption. So Lee noted that the foundation's website only listed three Palisades organizations as grant recipients among nearly 120, and even those details were vague. What's a comparative analysis? Well, Lee compared the Annenberg Foundation's efficiency to Doctors Without Borders, which spends almost 90% of its funds on actual programs and less than 1% on administrative costs. Well, that's another one to add to my list. The other one is the Salvation Army that spends about 90% of its funds it collects on giving back to the people. I have bad news for y'all. That's not the norm. The Annenberg Foundation is probably about maybe 10% over what the average norm is, but about 15 years ago, no, 20 years ago, a big scandal, Red Cross CEOs, all the big charities. It was after a big, maybe Haiti or something, you know, one of those type of situations. And the salary started to come out for all these people. 700,000, not counting bonuses. 1 million, not counting bonuses. 300,000. And yet they had like half a million in bonuses. It's a racket with all the major charities out there. So these two are not the norm. But in a case like this, where everything's so transparent and we're able to find out, this will change. And I am glad Lee pointed out the Annenberg Foundation. So a couple of updates here. The first round of grants came out in 2025. The Annenberg Foundation distributed $50 million to cover about 120 nonprofit organizations. This was intended to provide immediate relief to about 150,000 Angelenos, supporting families, displaced owners, foster youth, seniors, small business owners, first responders, artists, and others. And they were going to be providing emergency housing, food assistance, trauma counseling, and direct financial aid. Now, if this lady's earning $100 million a year, and they're taking approximately 65% in administrative costs, we're being shortchanged. It doesn't matter if they get it out there quickly or whatnot, it's how much they're getting and how much they're keeping for themselves. It's greed versus doing good. And they hide the greed by saying, I'm giving them my time. I remember a Frasier episode where he got hit. The bad guy in that episode hit him. And he kept screwing up in the storyline related to the character who had hit him. And he'd always throw up, may I remind you, I took one for the team. Or he hit me, took me out, and the rest of the cast would be, oh. And they would stop, you know? And at the end, finally they were like, oh, just shut up with that. And that's where we're at with these nonprofits. We're like, enough. You don't deserve $1 million to do this. This is about giving and helping others out, not you raking in via a grift of people who have donated their money. And that's how I do look at nonprofits. I worked at nonprofits. I did volunteer work where I wasn't paid. The reason I left the nonprofit world is I didn't think it paid enough. And I did not want to be that guy who worked at a nonprofit and was able to successfully get a salary where I could afford the Mercedes or the Beamer, which I don't own. But I left there because I'm like, this is a limited world. As it should be. You're there to help. You're not there to make bank. You're there to earn a nice living, but not make bank. And if you don't like it, go into the private sector where you have the opportunity. But most don't. Most don't. Then there was a second round of grants that came out on June 4th, just a couple weeks ago. And an additional $25 million was announced, which brings the total of the total distributed close to $75 million. And this round focused on long-term recovery efforts, including financial and housing stability. So they did right. Strategically, you want to help those in immediate need. The second round, you want to help those who are going to need long-term help. Maybe they don't have the insurance to build a home. They need a loan, things of that nature. Again, the problem stems from 65% of this 100 million going to the nonprofit. Now they may say they gave out 75 million, but they may not tell you they deducted what their needs. Then all these nonprofits are going to deduct salaries. And as we are learning via the homeless, a lot of this is cronyism. You have these nonprofits, their CEOs out of this 120, how many of their CEOs are earning high six figures? 250, 300, 400, 500,000. This one lady with the homeless, between her and her husband, were bringing in 750,000. She was bringing 750,000 a year, and the husband was getting contracts through her nonprofit. So a lot of times these nonprofits are set up via the Democrat Party to reward loyal volunteers, loyal lower level employees or fundraisers or volunteers. And I say lower level, they're not highly educated, they're not very smart, and this is a way of paying them back. We saw it with the lady who was handling the water, turning it on or off or something. She during the press conference, she was clearly out of her element. The lady who's been busted for $750,000 a year in the homeless, clearly out of their element. Hell, look at Maxine Waters, clearly out of her element. Only in government can non-qualified people who don't know the job get paid and get paid well. So going back to the topic here, the second round of grants against $25 million, bringing the total distributed close to $75 million. That's just distributed. Again, it's not the cost. That's deemed administrative. That's part of the distribution. So the remaining funds, the final phase of grants are expected by the end of the year, but there's no specific amount beyond the $75 million that they've already allotted has been stated to be going out in the final round. Could be minimal. Now, the Fire Aid website does encourage further input on where help is still needed. So the effectiveness and transparency concerns, well, allocation versus impact. While $75 million has been allocated, the effectiveness of this distribution is questionable. Again, what I've been alluding to and actually just stating, the high administrative cost, 67% historically from the foundation. And that suggests that a significant portion of the funds may not be reaching the intended beneficiaries. And it should be the exact opposite. 30-some-odd percent at best should be going for administrative costs, with 67% going to where it's needed. But it's kind of the opposite. And our politicians don't say squat. And then when watchdog groups bring it up, they ignore them. And the media helps them by not reporting it. This story came about from an independent, self-made journalist. Let me tell you something real quick on journalism. I am technically a journalist. Why? From my days with my previous startup. I was not a journalist, but our company was seen as a media company. I started interviewing. We started breaking stories. We started to have to make journalistic type decisions. We started to have to bring people in with journalistic backgrounds. So I am well aware of that world. And you do not need to go to college and have a journalism degree. You just have to have integrity, understand how to build contacts, and make sure your story is not biased. That's it. There's other nuances that can make you a better reporter, but you gain that with experience or with the mentor. So again, the exact breakdown of how much of the $75 million is going to go to actual relief versus administrative or intermediary costs is unclear. There's ongoing criticism. This is slowly building, but because of other national events, it's being buried. But the story will probably come back out on the forefront, I hope, again. But there's ongoing criticism. Groups like the People's City Council, Los Angeles, are calling for an investigation into the Annenberg Foundation for potential money laundering. I just audit them. Don't need an investigation. Just send the bookkeepers there to audit it. That's the only investigation you need. So obviously there's a lack of trust with the Annenberg Foundation, and deservedly so. Now, there's other charities out there, other organizations. The Los Angeles County itself established the Los Angeles County Relief Fund, which has about $32 million in county funds to provide direct financial relief. Normally, the higher-ups will give it to a nonprofit, but the county itself say, no, we're handling this one. So this indicates a recognition that the fire aid funds might not be sufficient or effectively distributed. My take is it's just not sufficient. We're talking billions in damage, billions are in pairs. $100 million is not going to go as far as it sounds like it could. So they need more money, people. Do not give it. Just, give your time. I always tell people who want to volunteer your time. That is the greatest gift you can give because you know where your help is going. You give them a check, again, 60% is going to administrative costs, translation, salaries. So what are the broader implications? Well, transparency is the broader implication we're all hoping for. Why? Because it's the poor that are often the most vulnerable in these situations. You know, at the end of the day, we've got to take care of them. If the funds raised don't effectively reach them, then the impact is disproportionately severe for them. And obviously the fire aid funds distribution question highlights that risk. So as Lee's post suggests, historically, this shows that without continuous oversight, corruption can thrive. When I sit there and say historically, I told you about the Red Cross, Alzheimer's Association, there were some bigwigs at the very top at one time, you know, just charities in general, especially the larger ones, they tend to have about 60% administrative costs. It's a disgrace. It should be 30%. We've gotten to a point when I was a child, when people worked in the nonprofits, people worked for government, you know, they knew they were going to be paid a working wage, a living wage. They were respected. They were treated with kindness. But they weren't going to be paid a lot because it was a volunteer. And taxes used to be seen that way. Hey, these are the people's taxes. We can't abuse them. Now we have priests, preachers, Baptist ministers, bishops, whatever you want to call them, you know, driving Beamers, Mercedes, living in 5,000, 7,000 square foot homes based off of what the flock's giving them. We have nonprofits, the same thing, 750,000. There's one lady working in a nonprofit in the homeless that the feds are looking at. The Annenberg Foundation here, $1 million. That's just uncalled for. So we can't afford to be passive people. We must be pit bulls. Pit bulls for transparency. We must protect ourselves and our fellow citizens, especially the poor. Because my family in Panama, they are in the shoes of the poor. Not all of them. My mom did a lot of work to uplift them from that with their desire to work hard. You know, so it was a natural disaster that kept my family down, but it was the tyranny of a government that only cared to enrich themselves versus creating opportunities and creating a fair playing field. So my mom working here, thank God for my mother and marrying my father and having access to America and all the resources and her desire to help her family and raising them up from where they were to where they are now. And that came about again because my mom's side of the family, they chose to work hard. In a nutshell, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's why we have to be watchdogs. You know, there's a difference between a lot of these people earning $1,750,000. They feel, they use the, I'm helping them, so I deserve this. They're not there to help. They're there because it's just another gig they can earn a lot of money on and at the same time be seen as they're helping. So give me a break. So let's give some credit to James Lee. I don't know if he broke this story, but it's the first time I saw it. Haven't seen this story in many other places. So a big thanks to James Lee for his post on X that obviously sparked this topic for me. His work reminds us why we need to keep asking questions and demanding answers. So let us move on from sanctuary policies to looting, the 2025 LA riots and their toll on Angelenos. So how we got to the 2025 LA riots is first up. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of history and then the looting. So let's picture this. It's June 2025 in LA, explosions in the street, cars burning, small business owners watching looters shatter their dreams. You don't have to really picture this. You can find the film and video out there of that. But that's where we're at today. So this isn't just about protests like the left wants you to believe. It's about these business owners struggling and being looted. And that's crushing the working class Angelenos. Over $1 billion in damage, my friends. And then we'll talk about the Democrats who are fanning the flames and spark a nationwide unrest like they did in 2020. I talked about that last week. It bears repeating. So let's get some historical context here. Sanctuary policies emerged in the 1980s, exemplified by San Francisco's 1989 City of Refuge Ordinance. And that was meant to protect Central American refugees from deportation during tough times. So under Newsom, these became a Democratic symbol of resistance. with critics linking them to public safety risk, citing an 8% rise in California's 2024 violent crime rate per FBI data. Obviously, I kind of jumped forward. But the point is, crime just kept going up and up and up. So the 1980 sanctuary movement involved churches and cities like Berkeley declaring safe havens formalized by ordinances like San Francisco's. By 2017, California's SB 54 and the 2016 Trust Act limiting jail holds for ICE, that solidified the state-level resistance. And it was seen by supporters as humanitarian to protect that rapist. It is humanitarian to protect men who kill the Lake and Rileys of the world. To protect men who run over people. Who protect men who beat and maim you. That's humanitarianism. Well, we're only a handful. Really? Let me take a bat with barbed wire wrapped all around it, shove it in and out and in and out and in and out of your little kid. Then beat him over the head with it, dump him under a bridge, and then you tell me how humanitarian. Because until that happens, shut the bleep up. There's a lot of hard working to come in legally. My mom became a citizen. A lot of individuals who have come in legally have gone and done it right. We've got 7 million who are paying a lot of money to come here legally. We're $37 trillion in debt. California, wake up call, is about $1.2 to $1.9 trillion in debt because of pensions that they don't talk about in the budget. Yeah, that $12 billion that we're over budgeted looks paltry when you realize we got $1.9 trillion of pension debt. Yes. So none of this is humanitarian, but and as a critic, to me, all this does is enable illegal aliens to keep coming in. 13,000 ICE custody refusals from 2022 to 2025, meaning ICE came in and says, hey, these guys are illegal, and these people said, no, we're okay with 13,000 criminals running loose. We don't care about the little guy. I live in my mansion, San Francisco. They recalled Chelsea Boudin from the DA. When they broke down the voting pattern, all the rich, elitist suburban districts and rich districts that were away from all the crime, they all voted to keep him. All the working class, blacks and Latinos, and the working class whites, they all voted to throw him out. So, yes, this is political. This is elitist class warfare. They are okay with us being murdered, maimed, and destroyed. When did the San Francisco cops react, start pushing back? Was when all these crimes started moving towards the rich areas, the jewelry stores, things like that. Then all of a sudden you saw the cops coming out and arresting people. And the 2025 riots is just a culmination of ideological battles. And when did that start here in California? Proposition 187, and it's what I feel was an illegal overturn the will of the people. In 1994, California voters passed Prop 187 with 59% support. And what it was meant to do to keep illegal aliens from accessing public services like healthcare, education, and welfare. Why? If you do this, you're all going to come here like magnets. Shake your head. That's what happened. Federal court struck it down in 1997, ruling it is unconstitutional for usurping federal immigration authority. See, that's what eventually is going to kill all these state battles against Trump, is they've already ruled the federal authority usurps the state authority. This is an immigration issue. Even NPR said the National Guard use Trump is legal. It's going to go down hard for the states. That's why I hate when people do this half-truths. Well, no, you got to go to the governor. They don't, it's illegal. Trump's illegal. Trump. And when you try to bring some common sense to them, they just refuse to hear. No. And they're wrong. These are people who think they're smarter than everybody else, too. In this case, the courts will eventually go with Trump. Because what they do is they cherry pick the judges. Again, I'm digressing a bit, but this judge, Breyer, is up in San Francisco. Why is a judge all the way up there dealing with an L.A. issue with the National Guard? Because they cherry-picked him. They should have been going to the equivalent judge here in this area, but they went and cherry picked him because they know he's a duck with a C. I repeat, a duck with a C. He only does as his political ideology and his masters tell him to. This man needs to be impeached and taken off the courts. All right. So California Sanctuary State Law SB 54, again, enacted in 2017 under Governor Jerry Brown, Senate Bill 54, the California Values Act, and it bars local law enforcement from using state resources to assist ICE detainers unless serious crimes are involved. And their serious crimes is no crime is serious enough to help ICE, period, end of story. SB 54 has led to over 10,000 annual releases of illegal aliens with criminal records. Let me repeat. The 2021 Center for Immigration Studies report claims, stated, factually, they did the research, SB 54 led to over 10,000 annual releases of illegal aliens with criminal records. And this is despite ICE arrests still being high. It's a losing battle. It's a losing battle because California Democrats will protect the most notorious criminal because of TDS. And they are tomorrow's voters. So the Trump administration did sue in 2018 and they lost. That puts us at 2025. ICE raids in LA's Latino-heavy neighborhoods. Why? Because that's where most of the illegals are. Oh, he's racist. No, yo soy Latino. Vete carajo, estúpido, tirando esa mierda por aquí. I'll let those who speak Spanish tell you what I said. But for those who say, whoa, that's being racist. No, it's not. It's where they're at. You know, it's like, enough with this stupid nonsense. That's racist. Well, you know what? This is what the data says. That's where you go. It's not racist. You're the bigot because you have this white savior complex, or you're just a minority racist yourself because you want to scream to throw out racists out there to shut the conversation down. I know all the tricks as a former liberal. So these ICE raids is what sparked these protests, and they were looking to protest. This was planned, and that's what the feds are starting to dig up and dig out. The 2018 lawsuit that Trump lost was part of a broader Trump-era push against sanctuary jurisdictions, as most Americans wanted. And he's using this to withhold federal funding. And again, cherry-pick courts are saying, you can't withhold the other people's tax dollars. You know what burns me up is California's always whining. We pay the most federal taxes. That's because we're the most populous state. California, you just pay the most only because you have the most people living here. Federal taxes done individually or done by companies here have nothing to do with the actual state. If we are the fourth largest revenue producing country in the world, the fourth largest GDP, why are we $1.9 trillion in debt? Where's the money going? Well, why can't we balance the $12 billion we're off this year? You know, so enough with that. We pay the most in federal taxes. Really, you charge the most in state taxes. I'm going to talk about that with the gas coming up. So this nonsense is just double talk. Yeah. What's California's resistance? They say it's rooted in 40% Latino population. It's rooted in 100% of the illegal population. And those 40% of Latinos who still vote Democrat. Why? Because Whitey gives you a few pennies and my brethren are like, ooh, I got a few brethren in Democrat vote. Ooh, here you go. Here's a ballot for my illegal friend. Boop. That's right. I'm chastising my brethren, idiots. And they didn't even get mad. Okay, we're going to tax illegals sending money back to Mexico and other places. Oh, you can't do that. I'm not going to talk about it here, but there's more support, statistically speaking, for Khomeini's Iran in the United States than there is in Iran, where 80% of the Iranians want him out. What's that tell you? It says you we got some happy, nothing better to do losers who are willing to destroy this country because they have their white savior complex. Or they have an ideology that they'd rather win the argument. Again, let's take a bat with barbed wire and let's remember what I said earlier in the show. That's what I wish would happen to some of these people instead of an innocent kid. You're the one who caused it. Let it be you who suffer the consequences. But instead, it's some innocent person who's just living their life and they get murdered. All right. On June 6th, ICE raids targeted illegals, and that's when all this began, and Trump eventually deployed 2,000 National Guard troops and 700 Marines. And Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass defended SB 54. They framed the riots as a response to federal aggression. Well, there's enough video and documentation to show these riots were already going ballistic, which is what forced Trump. They're trying to create a false narrative. They're failing. They tried to throw out a Berkeley poll, which was done with mostly leftists taking it, that only 33% of Californians opposed stricter immigration. Turns out it was a very skewed poll. Most people are 80-20 on that. And Trump was just, again, 80-20. Trump was fulfilling his campaign promise. So, some of the policy failures of these Democrats. It's their insistence on the SB 54's non-cooperation with ICE, which is what created this flashpoint, when federal raids meant local resistance. That was organized local resistance and organized protests meant to rile up the mob and create riots. And what? And who were the victims? Business owners. Business owners. SB 54 is more about ideology and future voters of tomorrow versus pragmatism. They ignore, again, I say 80-20, but 70% of Californians support stricter enforcement. 70%. Democratic incentives and nonprofit funding. They are right now investigating Democrats funding some of this through nonprofits. Why it's the government funding it, and California is pure Democrat. They're the ones making these decisions. They're the ones who are funding some of these groups. But my point, I think, that I want to make here is actually that Democrats are doing all of this to galvanize the anti-Trump movement. A 2020 Quinnipiac poll showed 60% of voters disapproved of how the Democrats handled BLM. But they have so much control over the media, they were able to get their message over the hump. The Republicans, one of my representatives, Brian Jones, Republican Bill ACR 98, the repeal SB 54, died in committee, as everybody knew it would. And again, so what I'm talking about is this emerging evidence where the feds are investigating that points to state-funded nonprofits, notably the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, received $34 million. And what did they do with that $34 million? Well, allegedly to buy pallets of bricks, masks, protest materials, and help fund the logistics and planning of these riots. There will be a criminal investigation to this, and I believe people will go to jail this go-round. It's going to be hard to go, well, we just bought the bricks, not for violence. What would you buy them for? We're going to be digging deeper into these nonprofits in the near future. So let's get to the looting. Let us get to the looting. Let me show you this. This encompasses the looting from not just 2020 BLM, but what's happening here.
This is so ridiculous. This doesn't look like this is for they're protesting for ICE or anything. This is that they're doing just for the looting the stores and everything. I saw they break into the Apple store, they break into the Adidas store. This is not they're doing protest.
It's a business owner. That, my friends, is a business owner. He's had it because he knows what's happening here. Over $1 billion in damages to small businesses, and that's an SBA estimate reported, with vandalism, arson, and looting hitting about 30 businesses in one night. That's just one night. We're probably over the 100 now, including a Paramount Home Depot. Now, see, here's what you need to realize. It's not just a business owner. Jobs, hey, we're destroyed and have no job for you. Am I going to get paid? What you think? Little Tokyo shops. Downtown stores like Apple and Adidas. Oh, those are corporations. They can eat the loss. No, they raise the prices on everybody else's. You see, that's the other thing. They're corporations. Screw you, you racist, bigot, piece of bleep. You play the race card. If somebody says, hey, you did this. Oh, you're just accusing me because of my skin tone or my culture. No, it's because there's video of you doing it. And a white person is involved, get them too. Latino, get them too. Asian, get them. Black, get them. Red, get them. Get them all if you're breaking the law. And Newsom's administration has delayed accepting SBA disaster loans, which is leaving businesses struggling. Mayor Bash reported that. Civilian injuries of the innocent, 50 to 100. 20 LAPD officers injured from thrown objects and altercations. That's per their police chief. So far, at least 851 arrests, including 338 for looting, vandalism, burglary, with 14 specifically for looting and 575 for broader protest-related activity per LAPD. Yay. Throw them all in jail. The odds are they're going to get some friendly little duck with a C judge who's going to let them off. The real damage, again, little Tokyo small businesses, many Asian and Latino owned, lost 50 to 60% of revenue, with owners like Rico Alzafarani of Mike's Deli facing costly repairs, which he may not be able to cover. Uninsured losses, 60% per 2023 NPR study happens because of riots that threaten permanent closures. Owners reported an emotional toll. You can imagine the stress. They have house payments, bills, kids, car payments, they have all that. They don't have a business that's able to fund and help them pay their bills. One jewelry store owner stated, quote, years of work all gone, unquote. It got so bad they had to implement a curfew, 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. It got so bad even the Latino gangs in Compton were saying, you come here, we're going to execute you. Because they saw the damage being done. And obviously Latinos don't care. They're destroying their own barrios, their own neighborhoods, their own area. 70% Latino. Most of these protests happen in 70% heavy Latino areas. And a downtown Roybal Federal Building and graffiti, burned Waymo vehicles, shattered LAPD headquarters. You know, and Newsom's in his protected mansion talking trash. There's never been a more corrupt, imbecilic piece of turd in my life. Never. And I'm talking about Noriega and Torrijos, two dictators. And why do I say that? That's what I expect out of dictators. This man isn't supposed to be doing this. Newsom is just Justin Trudeau 2.0. So, and all this is done is made the government double down. There's instability in L.A. Why? Because too many businesses use illegal aliens because they care more about making a bigger profit. Do you think we see the price decrease? No. And then when it's an illegal goes, hey, you know, I said, I need a little bit more money. Hey, you know, I say, I'm going to call ICE. Okay. And don't say a word. There was an illegal. His name, he was on Patrick Bet Davids. His name was Ricky. He was not illegal. His parents were. Ricky's a former gangbanger. His parents, relatives who were illegal when they came, but then became legal. They're all saying, man, y'all screwing us here. Y'all giving us all a bad name. Y'all creating hate. That's not what we're about. So even disparity is happening within the illegal community. You don't hear The View talking about that. Oh, no, Sunny Hostin, who's made it, Ivy League kid, graduate Ivy League. Oh, no, she's being held down by the man. Yeah. I might be a millionaire, but I'm being held down by the man. No, you're not, you dumb wench. Dumb excuse for a human. You give not only women a bad name, you give blacks a bad name. You give being American a bad name. Sunny Hostin. She used to be on, Sunny Hostin is one of the hosts on The View. She used to be on with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly just said it flat on her show. The girl's not very smart. I used to destroy her in debates. And it was, she did. It was obvious Sunny wouldn't prepare, whereas Megyn Kelly would just go there and destroy her. It was an embarrassment. I kept saying, why does Bill have her on? The girl's an idiot. She never wins. All right, back to the looting. With some of the looting, if they tried to stop or try to protect stores, they were injured. They were attacked. There were 50 car ramming incidents, over 2,000 officer injuries. Minor, most of them, but still. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes. This is BLM. And the reason I'm bringing this up, 100 civilian injuries, 50 car ramming incidents, over 2,000 officer injuries, 25 deaths, including bystanders like David Dorn. Why do I say this? Because They want to use the LA riots as the foundation, the starting base for this. But the real point I want to make here is 10,000 businesses were damaged, many uninsured, with neighborhoods facing long-term decline. And that's what LA is mirroring right now. On a small scale, because there's only one city, over 200 cities with BLM. Now, there were 14,000 to 17,000 arrests, and there were probably about 14,000, hey, let them go. Because the DAs, especially in Chicago and Portland, small businesses lost over $500 million in uninsured losses. Black and immigrant-owned businesses in Minneapolis, Lake Street never recovered. The people they say and claim they're helping, they didn't care. 30% of their businesses permanently closed. A lot of them businesses which reopened were bought out because they couldn't afford to reopen them. So unsavory capitalists, crony capitalists, corrupt capitalism came in and bought them, paid them a wage. The low market value, they needed the money. This looting in LA is risking the same thing, especially in the Latino communities. The SBA, again, estimates $2.1 billion in damages with 1,200 businesses affected. What I gave you was the initial numbers early on. I'm looking at these numbers, 1,200 businesses affected, 65% minority-owned, Latino, Asian, Black, and 40% facing permanent closure because of uninsured losses. You can't get insured. Look, California is a difficult area to operate in now. And insurance companies, and they can't take them to court. Look, man, it's a high crime rate. Hey, you got illegals there, Judge. I'm going to hold you in contempt if you say that again. These bought and paid for judges. So, the looting mechanics, looters in 2025 used social media to coordinate attacks. They targeted high-value stores. They planned it. Reports of organized groups exploding protests for cover, and all this came from the LAPD. See, they need to cut loose the LAPD, not to maim or hurt them, to fight back. You know what irks me? Oh, my rubber bullet, I might lose my eye. Well, why were we protesting? Why were you throwing bricks at these officers? You know? What I think they need to do, I want to say it was an Asian, some Asian country, maybe Israel, I don't know. The protesters were being sprayed with water. It was that water, and then it would leave them blue. They just start tracking them down. What were you doing there? I think they should do that. And these people do hard time. They'll think twice. Chicago, 2020, $100 million in stolen goods recovered. In Chicago, $100 more millions not. Now, you can look at it this way. I look at it as this is what's planned by the Democrat Party, by those who are looking to use people to enrich themselves and gain a stronger hold of power. The simpletons go, well, this just undermines our protest ability. Well, that's never been the plan. The few morons who believe that, you're in the minority. Now, that said, it got so out of hand, and the public siding with Trump over Newsom and Karen Bass, unless they were the hardcore Democrat, they became peaceful around the rest of the nation. Why? Because Trump said, I'll call out the National Guard in every city. I don't care anymore. Then we will not have a 2020 repeat. The Democrats' defense of 2020 BLM protests, despite billions and billions and billions of damages, it's paralleling Newsom and Bass's 2025 framing of riots as resistance. They're pushing the violence. They're condoning the violence. They're telling you it's okay to be violent. And they're ignoring the toll of all this looting, these businesses destroyed. And these businesses, it's not just the owner, it's the people they employ again. I mentioned the corporations, wrote all this mom and pop shop, where mentoring can really be strong. Over 40% was seen as negative against BLM. Oh, you murder somebody. So by prioritizing SB 54, Democrats are alienating voters, with 62% of Americans supporting deportation, and 67% of California is backing stricter enforcement. And that was a 2025 UC Berkeley poll. Shocking, I know. Democrats are leveraging 2025 riots to spark nationwide unrest again, mirroring 2020. They're under scrutiny, Democrats in the state are, for funding the nonprofits. Again, investigations are underway or are just getting started because these nonprofits allegedly provided violent protesters with the tools needed to create this chaos. Pallets of bricks and sticks and shields to protect themselves don't just show up organically. So the 2025 LA riots obviously have ignited or were ignited by Democrats to create a resistance movement of hate and murder and mayhem and property destruction in the billions. BLM, I said 25, but I see other reports, 22, between 22 and 25 people killed. You don't hear about that in the news, do you? You hear about some racist cop at Capitol on J6 who murders a woman who happens to be white, and they applaud the cop. And all the Democrats go, we don't care, it was whitey. But they ignore the 25 murder here. White woman was black. Retired police chief Dorn. Doesn't fit the narrative. Hate is hate. We've got to go after these people. Not because of the hate, but because what they've done is illegal. You can hate. Don't break the law. And the reason we did not have this nationwide is because Trump called the National Guard. And despite Breyer, one of the most useless, worthless excuses of a human being, the day he leaves us is the day this planet will be a better place without people like him. He wanted to give the National Guard back to Newsom, who did not want to call him out, which would have done nothing but created BLM 2.0 in LA. And he knew it. And this judge knew that. And he was okay with it. And I saw the actual official paperwork. He was basing it on, it's not that bad. That's pretty much what he based it on. Some clerk writing up, it's not that bad. So leaders must protect the working class communities, but they're not. Democrats aren't. They just got to dump SB 54. This isn't about protests. It's about looters exploiting chaos, leaving Angelinos revealed, while politicians play games. So let's amplify and make sure our message gets out. Over a billion in damage so far. Dozens of businesses looted. Insurance next to impossible to get. 60% of these people are going to struggle. Over 30% will just have to shut down. It's probably going to be higher, probably closer to 50, 60% that will shut down because it's such a difficult state to get permits, to get permission. And with rich people in the pockets, all these small businesses, the people who own, say, the little strip mall or those buildings, they're going to be forced to sell at a below market cost. Because you think LA's going to go, oh, we don't care that we destroyed your business. You still owe property taxes on this. But the looting has gone beyond the pale. All right. Boy, that was depressing, wasn't it? Let's move on. Let's move on to the Cali Blitz. That's our lightning round. And let's start out with the California gas prices to surge due to the Clean Air Regulations Act. These are stories I hit on quickly, give you my conservative-based thought and of what's happening and why. So there's new clean air regulations in California that are going to increase gas prices in a couple of weeks. The California Air Resources Board's updated their low carbon fuel standards that was approved in 2024, and it's going to raise gas prices by 65 cents. It's your politician that's allowing this to happen. So all of you in Democrat districts, you've got to get the word out. Your gas tank is costing you $100, $110, $120, $130, $160, $200 to fill up your car because of Democrats and their policies. My representative, Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones, requested a state audit to investigate the transparency and impact of these regulations. It's like, where's the money going? And that's not all. California faces a potential $8 a gallon by next year. There's gas that's a little bit over $2 a gallon right now in other parts of the country. So there was a study done just last year that our prices could hit at about $8.44 by 2026. Why? Refineries are closing. The state's own fuel supply is dwindling because of that. Stricter fuel standards. Fossil fuel fees. Are the only state in the union to have specific types of fuel regulations. All this is costing this, and Democrats are okay with it. San Francisco ranked as America's worst run city, Oakland close behind. So a new study highlights a significant mismanagement. Not only San Francisco, but Oakland. What do they have in common? They are deep blue cities. They are the West Coast version of Detroit, Baltimore. No, not because those are black run cities, because they're Democrat run cities, such as San Francisco and Oakland. San Francisco's last among 148 U.S. cities, citing a $1.5 billion budget deficit, high homelessness, and obviously poor financial management, despite a $15 billion budget. And Oakland ranks at 146, the third worst in California, with L.A. at 139th, Long Beach at 140th, Sacramento. So look at that. We got San Francisco, Oakland, L.A., Long Beach, and Sacramento, and Riverside. All make the cut. So the city scores poorly in quality of services in relation to spending. So just to give you an easy example, they'll give $100, you get about $1 worth of service. There's also office vacancy because people are tired. They can't afford it. And then you walk out of your beautiful office into a bleep hole. And whether it's a homeless begging you or drugged out and willing to attack you, or you just outright getting mugged by somebody who knows Newsom's not going to prosecute because of the $950 misdemeanor rule. We've lost over $1 billion in revenue tourism. It's California, led by Oakland and led by San Fran and Oakland. We are becoming a bleep hole state. Here's some good news. The Ninth Circuit strikes down California's gun rationing law. A federal appeals court overturned California's restrictive gun purchase law, which limited handgun purchases to one every 30 days. It's a Second Amendment victory. It was a unanimous Ninth Circuit panel that struck down California's 1 in 30 law, saying it violated the Second Amendment. And there was no historical precedent for it, and it didn't enhance public safety. All it was a tool to keep us from getting guns. Thank goodness we do have some judges who are sane. Next story. Did you know that the majority of Californians oppose health benefits for illegal immigrants? Specifically Medi-Cal. 61% of Californians oppose Medi-Cal. This came through Rasmussen poll. Rasmussen is one of the most accurate polling organizations out there. And why do the Democrats hate it? Because they tend to be right. They don't fall in line and give false polling like that chick in Iowa did. That old bag in Iowa. Why are y'all taking it because I'm a Democrat? No, because you lied within your poll. Trying to influence. Polls are used to influence. They're not used to inform. Rasmussen is one of the few that uses it to inform. 61% of Californians oppose Medi-Cal expansion for illegal aliens. Only 24% are in favor. We are a deep blue state. I think it's like 7 out of 10 are Democrat. And out of that, only 2 out of those 7 support this. Or 2 out of 10 support this, that are Democrats. So this isn't even a partisan divide. It's not even a partisan divide. Dear God, CAGOP, California Republican Party, see, this is my issue with the Republican Party in California. They can't win when they got all the ammunition, when they got the war chest. It's like they're Keystone Cops trying to open the war chest, get their message out, blah, do that, and trip and fall. All right. So this story is towards the end here. It's an important story, but truth is, a federal judge just late this past week delayed the rulings on Trump's National Guard. What happened is Trump called the National Guard. Newsom went judge shopping, found his duck with a C, Breyer, useless excuse for a human being, acting like a despot, acting like a king, just flat out said, it's not such a bad deal, big deal. Boom. Trump, you can't have the National Guard. Luckily, within an hour, somebody else said, at the appeal, said, nope, he still has the National Guard. And then this past Friday, another court said, yes, you still have the National Guard. And there's different battles, so they're going to end up consolidating it. And this is going to go to the Supreme Court. Eisenhower and LBJ usurped the National Guard from the states who were trying to keep blacks from going to high to school. And to help with the Selma March, to allow them to march peacefully. And the governor said, no, you do not have the permission. He said, screw you. He did. Even NPR says Trump's going to win this. Trump's using a different rule. But he's expected to survive this too. I mean, look at nationwide what the National Guard ended up stopping just because it became symbolic. We do this here, they're going to throw us in jail. And that judge in San Francisco, Judge Charles Breyer, useless excuse for human being, beyond useless, disgusting human being, disgusting, the worst of the lot. So, like I said, Eisenhower in 1957 and LBGA in 1965 deployed the National Guard, and they justified it under the clear federal authority to enforce desegregation and civil rights against state resistance. Trump's doing it in a different sense. But precedent was set, and the people who tell you have truths tell you, no, he doesn't have, the precedent hasn't been set. It was done this way. No, the precedent that was set is you didn't need the governor's authority. All right. Senator Padilla. They put his feet out of the Did you say your name? Yes. But the video says you didn't say your name for like 30 seconds in the event. Stop! I'm a Latino. Why are you being racist to me? That's Jose Padilla, who's been renamed by J.D. Vance, our vice president. Obviously, I'm talking about Senator Alex Padilla. He addressed his ginned-up act, in which J.D. Vance called him Jose and stated, he knows my name. the remark, they're trying to make it a race remark. Yo soy Latino, Jose. I'm Latino, Jose. In fact, I dug up a picture of Jose Padilla. And I got to show it to you. Listen here, Jose. I know you're having issues. I know you're going through a lot of stuff. But please. Jose Rico Suave Padilla. Look at him go. You go, Senator. Rico Suave. That's too funny. And that's a wrap. That's a wrap. I'm fired up, California. From shady disaster fund dealings to the devastating LA riots, we're demanding accountability for our communities. But the only way we can demand it is if we keep talking about what's happening. We keep preaching the gospel about what Democrats are doing, what bigots are doing, what racists are doing, what illegal aliens who don't really want to help this country. And how do we know this? Do you see the American flag? No. The only time you saw the American flag was when the storyline started to trend. There's no American flag. It's all Mexican flags. Iranian flags now. There's no American flags. Then the Democrats, the same people, the nonprofits, started buying American flags. Hey, you got to show both. By then, the jig was up. By then, the jig was up. All right, my friends. Do not forget to visit grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora. And don't forget to smash those likes and shares. Keep watching, watchers. Keep amplifying, because the business owners need our help. The Democrats aren't helping them. And stay fired up as we fight for a better California. Until next week, my friends, stay safe, because you don't know what protester is going to walk up behind you.